Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ and God the Holy Spirit. $17 million. That is the figure that is given. It's an incomprehensible amount of money that was inherited by a young man who blew it all away. Every last penny. Today, that vast fortune is no more. In less than 2 years, it was spent and gone with absolutely nothing to show for it. The names and the places really don't matter here. We really don't need to know who or exactly how. The fact remains, though, that when we hear about somebody squandering $17 million and receiving that as an inheritance, but only to spend it on sinful pleasures, it's a crying shame. All the hard work, all the self-denial that went into accumulating that for that person had no effect, no respect, no appreciation, just greed, self-indulgence. That's the sad legacy of a squandered inheritance. You know, it's pretty easy to recognize the problems that we can see in other people. But we have a more difficult time when it comes to recognizing and admitting our own sins and issues. But I wonder, and I cringe at the thought, if you and I are in danger of squandering our spiritual inheritance. Well, today, we have come to celebrate the Reformation. And I'm here to proclaim that we are heirs of the Reformation, and each one of us have inherited the truths that God has given to us through the Reformation. And there are three hallmarks in that Reformation: faith alone, grace alone, and Scripture alone. And living as an heir, however, we do not escape responsibility. To learn exactly what our responsibilities are, we have to take a look back in our history a bit. And so I invite you to come back with me about 2,000 years ago to about 30 AD, when Jesus, the only Son of God, had risen from the dead and just recently ascended into heaven. Our Lord gave his disciples marching orders to go and to tell the whole world about God's grace and good news. He formed those disciples into what we call the church. The church is God's vehicle to bring the good news of salvation to all people. And the church began with the apostles, and the church grew. Well, let's skip forward in history. Now to the date of 1517, some 502 years from today. And we gather around a small crowd of people trying to figure out the words on a door in a church in Germany. They were Latin words that a monk by the name of Martin Luther had written, and he posted it the previous evening and nailed it to the door of this very church. And on this door, Luther risked placing 95 theses. Actually, they were points of debate that he wanted to discuss with the learned people of the Roman Catholic Church, of which he too was a part. But they refused, however, to talk about these things. They saw that he resisted their sense of authority. And the greatest sin of all that Luther saw was a false teaching, A false teaching was that man is saved in part by his own good works. So what is this treasure of the Reformation? Well, 2 years earlier, in 1515, Martin Luther was teaching the book of Romans, and like every good teacher, you learn as you teach. And when he flipped to the third chapter of the book of Romans, he knew it said that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He knew it was there. And it was a burden for him, a large burden. Because to have that sense of reality that we have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God is a huge disappointment. But then he stumbled at the next verse where it says, all are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Friends, you and I are saved by grace through faith. And this is God's gift to you and me. This is God's gift to the church. We don't earn God's gift. We don't participate in the receiving of God's gift. Jesus paid the price. And it's this discovery, friends, that changed the course of history. What a day! What a treasure! Have you ever played the children's game called Telephone? It's quite fun to do. When you gather a large number of children together and you make a large circle and you start with a fairly complicated message and you whisper it in the first child's ear. And then that child has the task of whispering it to the person to their immediate side. And so it goes all around the circle. And then you find that by the end of the circle, you test yourself to see how much different it was after it started. Well, that's what happened in the church. That God had given us a great legacy through Jesus Christ. But before long, the message of the gospel had gotten tangled up. It had gotten confused. And it bore little resemblance to what Christ had so clearly taught in the Bible. This is the state in which Martin Luther, and other reformers, by the way, found the church back in the year 1517. And through these men, God once restored the truth of his word to his children. And so we have these great pillars of faith, solid rocks that cannot shift or change. Grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. These are the three pillars upon which our faith is based. We had learned the hard way that following men rather than the word of God was a recipe for disaster. You know, centuries ago, the Bible was a prized possession. It was hard to get a Bible. And first of all, it was hard to get a Bible that was written in the language that you speak yourself. Today, we have Bibles everywhere. But Bibles have been common, and I say common in the worst sense of the word. You see, back when Bibles were rare, men and women wanted to know every single word that was in that word of God. People were willing to risk their lives upon the very word of God, not to distort it in any way whatsoever. Today, on the other hand, there are many who teach The Bible is not important. The words within the Bible are not inspired, they might say. You can mean anything when you say the Bible. No doctrine is sacred and no word is revered as holy or without flaw or error. But I am here to say to you today, and we say together, that the Bible is God's word. And the Bible is sacred. The Bible is holy, and it speaks to us about Jesus Christ. It speaks to us about our great treasure in and through God's Son, Jesus. This is a dangerous time for us to live as Christians. We began this meditation by lamenting the fact that certain ungrateful individuals will from time to time squander their inheritance. The church has been given a wonderful inheritance too. An inheritance much greater than $17 million. An inheritance that has eternal value. And yet Christianity today is in danger of squandering this most precious gift. Our Fulfilling the Mission of Hope campaign is our most recent effort not to squander our inheritance, but to recommit ourselves to Christ and His mission. We desire first and foremost that our congregation is here to share the message that God loves people, that God cares for people, that Jesus Christ is the great hope, the one and only hope that is here to forgive your sins today and offer hope for all eternity. Salvation matters. Jesus' death on the cross matters. His resurrection points us to all things good and wonderful. And that's why we're committed to reaching souls through Celebrate Recovery, a program that is aimed at helping people who struggle with addictions, who also aim at helping families who have loved ones who struggle with these problems. And that's why we want to help youth and families and to call a youth worker here at Hope, because children are a great gift of the Lord and we desire to build families grounded in Jesus. And that's why we desire this worship space to be a place where all people can feel welcome to worship. And so we're recommitting ourselves to making this place a handicap-friendly environment. Because when you look at Jesus in the Bible, you see he was keenly interested not only in healing people who had mobility issues, he attended unto them. And because Jesus did, we do too. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, these words: "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Nothing that I can do can pay the penalty for my sins, not even part of what I owe to God. God has done it. God sent his Son Jesus to be our Savior. So what will we do with this gift? Hide it under a bushel? No way. Keeping the best news of God's love to ourselves? Uh-uh. Be indifferent to other people who speak to us a language of no faith? The Reformation then encourages us right now to risk our lives, to fight the good fight of faith, to be a witness, to be a Martin Luther, or better yet, to be a Jesus Christ to people around us. Let's bring the great news of God's salvation to all we know. We have this inheritance. Let's share it. Amen."